going deep. I feel like Kalo on the Miami Heat. The words I speak off this sheet are like a three-peat. I don't just hop on a track, I bring running cleats. I'm a player for real, more than an athlete. Let my mama tell it, could have ran for the Senate. Instead I penned it for Donovan Bennett. I'm cemented, this a deep dive. In your headphones or a long drive. Up close and personal, just like you courtside. There ain't no out of bounds here, no offsides. We going live in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You are now tuned in to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
Thanks so much, Capital. It is the Going Deep podcast. And as you know, I love to go deep on outstanding things on streaming services, specifically when they are sports, docuseries, and man, there is one that is out now. Came out on February 16th that is going to dominate the monoculture in a way that The Last Dance did. I know that is high praise, but The Dynasty, Apple TV Plus's look at the New England Patriots, which really had two different dynasties. If you think about it, Tom Brady had three different Hall of Fame careers in one, is remarkable. One, the timing couldn't be better. We are talking about that dynasty in relation to the Kansas City Chiefs, growing dynasty in comparison between Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. And also, timing is great because most of the people in this doc are currently unemployed. Bill Belichick is out of New England. He no longer is the coach. Tom Brady is out of football altogether and is going to start his career as a broadcaster. So it's nice to look back, have some nostalgia, and relitigate the Tuck Rule and Spygate and Deflategate and the end of the Patriots dynasty. So I'm going to do that with two people who are a big part of the project. First is Matthew Hamachek, director and executive producer, Emmy Award winner, as well as a filmmaker. You know him from his Emmy-winning series, Tiger, which is also outstanding. He's the first voice you're going to hear. I talked to him about this series, which is actually based on a New York Times best-selling book. The author of that book is Jeff Benedict. He's a former special features writer for Sports Illustrated and the Los Angeles Times, but he's got great biographies. That's kind of what he's known for at this time, whether it's his book on LeBron or Tiger Woods or his book, The Dynasty, which is what the 10-part documentary series is based off, where he looked at the New England Patriots in real time. And he also was an executive producer on HBO's Emmy-winning documentary, Tiger. So remember that level of storytelling on one person? Imagine that level of storytelling on a team of 53 really interesting individuals and a coaching staff over the span of over a decade. Let's go deep on The Dynasty, out now on Apple TV+.
In pro football, nobody's entitled to anything. You have to go out there and earn it.
I was pretty intent on proving myself.
We were going to determine the future of football in New England.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions!
First dynasty of the century.
This game is like a narcotic. You're chasing that forever.
Breaking news right now.
Spygate. Deflategate.
Aaron couldn't separate himself from that dark side.
That team won enough to become the villain.
We worked for Bill, but we played for Tom.
Bill tore Brady's head completely off.
There's things that are done that can't be undone.
I was just trying to hold it together the best I could.
This team will be scrutinized, celebrated for as long as the game of football is played.
Congratulations on a really impressive body of work. You know, we've seen so many of these docuseries come out, and as you're well aware, some of them have been, you know, a bit of mockumentaries, not really giving us the nuance and the depth and the uncomfortable truths. How did you go into this one knowing this is a team that was really well covered and you had a challenge of offering a different perspective?
Yeah, first, thank you so much for having me on. You know, I didn't grow up a Patriots fan. I had my own team that I rooted for, so I didn't know all that much about them. And, you know, it's interesting. You talk about how they were really well covered. In an interesting way, I see them as a team, at least from the outside looking in, that sort of always kept everybody at arm's length, right? They didn't really let us in all that much. So yes, they were covered because they won so much, but it was covered in a sort of, you know, almost in a superficial way. It was the wins, it was the losses. People were trying to sort of peek in the door and see what was going on behind the scenes, but it was, you know, they weren't really ever sort of let in. And so one of the things that I realized early on is, hey, we're going to have access to 70 plus, you know, players, coaches, executives, league officials, and rivals. And these are the guys that are actually there in the rooms while all this stuff is unfolding, right? The stuff that led to great triumphs, 6 Super Bowls in 20 years, but also the people that were there when Spygate happened, when Aaron Hernandez, you know, and all of that happened, when Deflategate happened, and then also when the dynasty came crumbling down. So not being a fan, not knowing that much, allowed me to just say, hey, look, I'm gonna go ask these guys and women some really interesting questions and see what they say and what their stories are, because that's the thing that we had that not a lot of other people had had before, is, you know, this is them on the record. This is not anonymous sources, and these are the people that were there. So let's let them talk.
You mentioned all the people you spoke to. There were some key names, given some of the issues that have arisen, you know, during this dynasty and the public's perception of them. You can see why a Bill Belichick, a Bill Parcells, or Roger Goodell may not want to participate at the level you got them to. How did you get them to?
It's the same way that you sort of do it anytime you're telling a story, right? You go to people and you say, hey, I would love to be able to ask you some questions. And what I always tell people is, you know, I like to tell really complex, nuanced stories. There's no good guys. There's no villains here. This is going to be the unvarnished story of the New England Patriots. So that means we're going to go get into some tough subjects, but they will be handled fairly. And I'm just looking to see how it was from your perspective. And some people say yes right on the spot, and then some people you have to talk to for a year or more to try to get them to be willing to sit down. But we were lucky, and we have an incredible team of producers and folks who had a lot of those conversations and got a lot of people in the chair to talk.
Which makes me curious about the timing. It's easy to get people to talk, you know, retroactively when they're far removed from it. But the Belichick Patriots breakup happened officially not that long ago. What was the timing in terms of when you had these conversations? Because to put together something at this length and breadth takes a lot of time.
Yeah, it was 2.5 years. And honestly, like some conversations happened at the very beginning, and some hot conversations happened towards the end. And it just varied from person to person. The other thing that made this such a complicated story to tell was there was, you know, 35,000 hours of never before seen archival material. And just to go through that and then to find all these hidden moments where you get to be in the locker room for these things that you thought you understood because you'd heard about. You know, we'd all heard about Spygate, we all heard about Deflategate, but to be there with the people and see them going through these things, you know, to pair that then with actually talking to those people and saying, you know, on a really human level that goes sort of beyond sports and, you know, what did it feel like to be in that situation? Because in the end, these all are just people trying to do the best they can on the biggest stage in really, really difficult circumstances.
Is there anyone that you didn't get to talk to that you'd hoped you would, or any anecdotal story that you didn't get to fully unpack that you thought would have been beneficial?
You know, I know it's the boring answer, but the answer is not really. I mean, we were really fortunate to get everybody that we really wanted to talk to. And there's, you know, a few people that we couldn't even include just because, you know, it's the nature of making a documentary is not everybody that you interview is going to get included. And there's so much on the cutting room floor, right? We could have, between the amount of hours of archival footage we have and the amount of interviews we did, we could have probably told 3 or 4 10-part series about the Patriots. But I think if we had done that, it would have been sort of a very linear sort of timeline telling of the story, which is the this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened, as opposed to really listening to what these people have to say, realizing that there is this story there, and saying, okay, based off of what we've heard from the people that were there, this is the story we're going to tell, and being very deliberate and specific in the way that we tell it.
It's funny you mentioned that linear nature because, as a producer and watching it through those eyes, it is somewhat chronological, but you're bouncing back historically to inform what's happening in the present tense. That approach, almost as if you were the therapist to the interview subject, did you get a chance to maybe understand better what made these people in this group the way they were?
Yeah, I think, first off, that is a style of storytelling that we did on the previous series Tiger that we did a couple years ago, but then also on this one. I think that what that allows you to do is to not fall into the trap of needing to cover every single thing, right? It's why what is important about the thing that is happening at this moment in time? How does something from the past, elucidate that what's going on in the present day story? And then maybe when you come back from that, you've moved to the next important chapter in the thing that you're discussing or talking about, right? And so, that happened throughout the entire telling of this thing. For me, the thing that I see this story as is it starts out in as a group of people who push aside the messiness of being a human being, where things, like ego and credit and fame, celebrity, all of these things come into play, and they push that aside at the beginning, and they go from sort of the bad news bears of the NFL to a dynasty. And then in this sort of interesting way, at the end of it, the thing starts to fall apart because the foundation of what created this thing starts to crumble because there's so much success and it's gone on for so long that ego and all of these things start to creep their way in. And that's the story that we sort of heard from people as we talked to them about it. And that's the thing that we wanted to, present. But just as fascinating as how it all fell apart is the fact that they sustained it for as long as they did, because 20 years, there's a lot of relationships that don't last that long. So it's remarkable what they accomplished.
Some of the interviews that did make it were with fans, which is a clear and distinct choice. I don't think anyone would have been watching this and said, you know what, I need to hear from a season ticket holder right now. But that brings on for you cost and more time and casting. Why did you make that choice?
Well, the beginning of this story to me is, like I said, almost like the bad news bears of the NFL, the little engine that could, and them overcoming that. And the fans really come in that section, right? And I wanted them to show it's one thing to hear about it from Tom Brady or from Robert Kraft or from Bill Belichick or the players to say, yeah, the Patriots really weren't that good. But I wanted to have people see the heartache on their face when they talk about like how hard it was to be a Patriots fan for so long, because they felt that pain and they lived it, because a lot of those people were fans for many, many years until basically the moment in 2001 where Drew goes down against the Jets, Tom comes in, and Bill is faced with this incredibly tough choice a few weeks later of do I stick with Tom, who's an unknown, or do I go back to the $100 million quarterback and the pressure that he's under? And I just thought that the fans were a perfect vehicle to do that with, to set the stage for all of that, because they'd been there for so long. And like I said, I wanted to see the sort of have the audience understand the pain on their face of what it was like to be a Patriot fan, because we all forget. Right now, we all think of the Patriots as one of the most dominant teams in sports history, but it wasn't always that way.
In something like this, you're going to expect to hear from players and reporters. You brought in the element of the fan, but you also peppered in some celebrity fans. Knowing that the audience is going to react to them in a way that might be different than, you know, a run-of-the-mill fan, what was your strategy in terms of having them be part of the narration of the story?
Well, for the more famous sort of, you know, I don't know if I want to call them fans, but I tried to find instances where people naturally sort of came into the story and became part of it, right? So, for example, in, you know, in the seventh episode of the series, Rupert Murdoch comes in because him and Kraft go on a trip to Russia, and they're there, and Robert Kraft gives Vladimir Putin his Super Bowl ring to look at and to hold for a few seconds, and you know, and then, depending on who you ask, Putin either sort of borrows it for a little bit accidentally or swipes it. And to be able to have these two guys, Robert Kraft and Rupert Murdoch, telling this story and sort of reliving it, felt like a natural thing to do. And I understand why people who probably don't know that that's what we're doing are probably looking at this and saying, what does Rupert Murdoch have to do with any of this? You know, similarly, one of the things that people don't know is that Bon Jovi is an enormous fan of this team and is deeply connected to both Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick. But when I was talking to him, he has this great line about how that season, that first season when Tom comes in 2001, was also right after 9/11. And that Super Bowl and what the Patriots at least represented in that moment was the country coming together. This was the Patriots. And there was this moment in time where sort of the tribalism of sports and all of that was sort of pushed to the side. And I remember when he said that, it was as if he was saying it from the perspective of a fan watching this thing, watching his team, in his words, sort of accomplish this. But it was just such a great way to articulate, you know, that sentiment. And again, it's one of those things where, yeah, I guess the Patriots can kind of talk about that, but it's a little bit better hearing it from a fan, right? And so I think we were always looking for opportunities to bring these outsiders in, let them tell their stories, but it always had to be the right moment and the right reason, not just celebrity outsiders for the sake of it, but where do they come into the story naturally?
You mentioned the curiosity of the timing of when you conducted the interviews. I'm also fascinated your perspective on the timing of when it drops. You know, somewhat serendipitously, the dynasty somewhat ends with Belichick no longer being part of the organization this offseason, but also now this dynasty is being compared to the Chiefs building dynasty in real time. And we look nostalgically back, you know, not to make you a marketer, but given, you know, everything that's gone on in the football world over the last couple weeks, you know, what does that say to you about the potential, you know, appetite to dive deep in these stories?
Well, I'll put it this way. I'm a diehard football fan. Did not grow up a Patriot fan, but I love football. And I'm sure there's lots of other people out there like me who at the end of the Super Bowl every year, you know, almost go through a withdrawal because they realize that, you know, football season's over and there's no more of this. And so in a way, I think that it's a perfect time for this to come out, because if you're longing for more football, here's arguably the greatest football story of all time. So, you know, I think the timing is great. I think that, you know, in my mind, having listened to the people who were there, I think a lot of them feel like when Tom left is in a lot of ways when the dynasty ended, because that's when the group of Kraft, Belichick, and Brady, you know, were no longer. And, you know, the other thing that they all, a lot of the people pointed out to me, and I remember Scott Pioli, who was one of the people that was sort of the foundation from the coaching perspective of and sort of front office perspective of this team. You know, as Bill left, everybody was starting to talk about, well, was it all Tom really, or was it all Bill? Who was really responsible for this thing? And I remember asking Scott that, and he said that almost like it was almost like an insulting question to him, because it ignores the fact that this is the ultimate team sport. And it was really the, you know, hundreds of players and coaches and staff that came through that thing that collectively made this thing happen. And it really wasn't any one of them. It was all of them together. So I think having made this thing and gotten to sort of listen to all of these stories, I probably agree with Scott.
Kind of like making a docuseries, if you
exactly.
will.
Now, you couldn't be more right. There was 50 or so people that had to come together. When you think about this thing, when you think about the amount of footage, the amount of interviews we had to do, the episodes, I got to work with an incredible group of people. You know, Dan Kohler, who's the lead editor on this series, a longtime collaborator, as well as Miranda Johnson, Chris James, the producers, Dallas Rexer. It was just, and oh, I almost forgot, Scott Salinas, the composer of this thing. The music in this, in my opinion, is just incredible. As a person who didn't create it at all, I loved listening to everything that he did for this, and bringing this, you know, this football footage to life was really, really special.
Yeah, it doesn't have a narrator in terms of voice, but the music, in a big way, is the narrator. I'm tired because I couldn't stop watching, and I binged through it in basically one sitting. You must be tired having to put together all of that over such a long period of time. But, you know, as a viewer and a football fan, much appreciated. So thank you and congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
First and foremost, congrats on putting together a really impressive, interesting, introspective body of work. And, you know, as you're well aware, we have so many, docuseries, specifically in sports space, coming out. And, you know, many have been criticized of being maybe a little bit too careful and not telling the hard truths. How did you approach getting so many people to be so candid on things that we're still litigating in the sports culture?
First of all, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it. And we tried to be careful as well, but tried to be careful about, you know, telling this as truthfully and comprehensively as we could. For me, this process started 6 years ago when I embarked on the book. And one of the things you have to do in the beginning is you have to build relationships of trust. And it takes a lot of time, to be quite honest. It's one person at a time building those relationships. And what happens is when you sit down and do interviews for people for a book, you don't have cameras, you don't have a big production crew. It's just you and that individual. So for Tom Brady, for example, it's sitting alone with him in a room doing interviews. And I thought he was very forthcoming, very open, as were a lot of the people that sat for interviews. However, it's not until the book comes out that they really can take a deep breath and say, okay, did he abuse the trust? Did he abuse me? Did he take things out of context? Did he treat what I said with, in some cases, the gentleness that it might have required, because it's a sensitive area? And when that happens, what happens to a lot of people is they then feel like, okay, now I actually have more to say and I'm willing to go deeper next time. But often there isn't a next time. In this case, we're really fortunate that we got to, you know, partner with Imagine Documentaries, partner with Apple TV Plus, partner again with the Patriots and organization as a whole. And I think one of the great things that happens in the documentary series is you can take the story to another level. And in other words, you can go deeper with some of these storylines, or wider. And when people are sitting in front of a camera, it's a different experience, but there was an underlying foundation of trust. And then we had to, of course, continue on that once Matt came on board to direct it, which he did an incredible job doing, and made people comfortable when they walked into a studio to sit down and talk to him. But I think that overall, this was like 6 years in the making in terms of how we got there. And I think the testament to that is seeing these people on camera in a very unvarnished, raw way that I just think is compelling television for people that are not used to that.
When you're writing, these stories, you're immersed in the story because you're painstakingly thinking about what to include and exclude. But going through this process with the benefit of the archival footage and some time, were there additional things that you learned about the dynasty and the individuals that maybe you didn't fully understand when you approached it the first time?
Absolutely. I mean, you do, like, and you're right to say that there, you have to decide what to include and what to exclude. And a lot has to get excluded. For example, you can't write a book that's 2,000 pages long. Nobody would read it. And so you have to really be judicious about what to put in the manuscript. And similarly with a film, 10 episodes is a lot. It's more than normal, but it's not, it's not 20 episodes. And so, again, you have to be really disciplined. And I can tell you that I did learn more things. And there were moments in the interview process where, I felt goosebumps forming on my arms because I was hearing something for the first time that was incredibly illuminating, sometimes shocking, and sometimes emotional. Like, to see certain individuals start to break down and get emotional on screen is, again, very unusual. You're not used to seeing these guys, these men, in that kind of position. And so I found that very striking. And I think audiences will also.
One of the things I don't take for granted about our jobs is we get to see highly successful people and how they approach work and life and relationships. You got to spend time with Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells and Tom Brady, people who, Fortune 500 companies will pay thousands of dollars to talk to their staff. In spending that time being embedded with them, what, if anything, did you learn?
Well, so again, for me, I spent a lot of time with them before we started the docuseries process, right? It, like 2+ years. And although I was doing interviews, and I did a lot of interviews for the book, what I did more of in that process was shadowing and observing. And I think you can learn a lot about a person when you're just watching them in their element and not asking them questions. And in the documentary process, it's a little different. We did do some shadowing where we were allowed to have a camera and a crew. And it's a little more intrusive when you have a camera and a light and everything else. But we did some of that. And I think that that helped inform, particularly for Matt, the director, his decision making and getting that sense of who some of the key players were. And I think that was really valuable. But in the interview chair, it's different. There, you're just, the person is staring down the barrel of a camera and, answering questions, some of which are questions they've potentially never been asked before. And I just found them, these guys, to be unusually honest, throughout this whole process, I would say for the whole 6-year process. And what you learn about them is at the end of the day, they're human beings like everyone else. They have spouses, they have children, they have the stresses of life that the rest of us have. The difference being that they're in the spotlight and most of us aren't. And so they live with that added element of visibility that really forces them to, in many ways, behave like they're in a shell. It's a protective shell. And the challenge of making a documentary like this is you're trying to ask them to remove the shell for a little while they're talking to us on camera. And I'm just saying that I thought we were very fortunate at how well so many of them did in that process. Guys like Bill Parcells, to be honest, he's one of my favorite characters in the series. People don't talk as much about him, but this man hasn't done an interview like this maybe ever in his life. And he's fantastic on camera. And he was Bill Belichick's mentor and teacher. And to see him sort of reemerge, it's almost like a Marvel movie, right? Where you see the guy come back and it's you're sitting there going, wow, that's actually him. It's like, yeah, that is Bill Parcells.
You know, you talk about humanizing these characters. And one thing that does it really well in storytelling and you know separates a great story from just a run-of-the-mill one is those anecdotal stories and nuggets that you get either from the principal character or people around them. You know when you hear them immediately, you got something good. Were there any for you that stick out in your documenting of this team?
Yes. Yeah, I'm so glad you asked me that question. Of course, there were a lot of those, but I'll tell you one that was just my favorite. So I interviewed Rupert Murdoch for the book, and he was a great interviewer, right? But when we interviewed him for the docuseries, we did it in Los Angeles. This was so incredible. This was right around the time that Vladimir Putin in Russia is you know, going to invade in Ukraine. And here we are, we've got Rupert Murdoch coming into the studio, and we know that one of the things we want to ask him about, most importantly for our series, is when Putin stole Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring in Russia, because Murdoch was there. Not only was he there, he was standing between Putin and Kraft. Now, I told the story in the book, so it's not a new story, right? The story's out there, right? But what's incredible is when you're sitting with Rupert Murdoch, who, by the way, I don't have to tell you, right? He doesn't do interviews, right? He doesn't talk about people in the news, especially someone like Putin. I'm just telling you that I was sitting right, his assistant was sitting right next to me as this interview was being conducted in Los Angeles. And my jaw dropped, and so did hers, when he started to answer the questions about Vladimir Putin, because he was so pointed and so, you know, just straightforward, honest about what Putin did and who Putin is as a person, that I think for everyone in the studio that day, it was hard not to keep your poise because of who was saying these things. It was, you know, think about it, right? We're making a docuseries about a football team. This is football, American football. It's a sport. And we have one of the most powerful media figures in the world sitting in the studio talking about Vladimir Putin, who's on everyone's mind in the world because of what's happening on the other side of the globe. And it was stuff like that that just made me sit back and think, you know, wow. I mean, and I will tell you, I've never said this, but that day, I was so taken by it that when we were all done and everyone went back to their hotel, I actually got in an Uber. And I took an Uber all the way to Rupert Murdoch's office without an appointment, unannounced. And I showed up over there with a letter, just a thank you card for coming on our set to do our show. And I walked into his office and his assistant, who had been at the studio, you know, brought me in and I got to hand it to him myself. And I just said, you know, thank you for coming on the set and participating in our docuseries, because it's just something that we'll never forget. And he didn't have to do it, but he did it. Man, it made for a great episode.
Wow. What a story. And what a nugget you now gave me about you going back to the office. This dynasty, you know, over the last couple weeks and months is now even more relevant given the fact that Bill Belichick no longer there. And the Chiefs are starting to work on their own dynasty. I'm sure you're already getting, you know, DMs about the potential running back and telling a story about this brewing dynasty in real time. But when you look at the coverage of great individuals and great teams and the opportunity, what sticks out to you as to the factors that make it, you know, a worthwhile story and not just a recounting of accolades?
Yeah, I don't think you can bring in a global audience, or frankly, even an all-American audience, if it's just about all the wins and how great they are and here's another championship. That's a huge turnoff. Like, the only reason you'd want to watch that is if you're a diehard Patriots fan, right? Why would you watch that if you're a New York Giants fan or, frankly, a soccer fan in Europe? Who cares, right? On the other hand, If you take an athlete like Tom Brady that is known around the globe as the greatest of all time, and the coach Bill Belichick, who's widely considered the greatest football coach of all time, and an owner who has an international profile, Robert Kraft, and you put together a 10-part docuseries that is going to explore not only the highs, of course, we're going to cover the Super Bowls, but we're going to take you to the depths of the lows, like the soul-crushing loss to the New York Giants in the Super Bowl after the Patriots had a perfect season and everything was perfect until that moment when some guy who no one even had heard of before pins a football against his helmet, defies geometry, and suddenly the undefeated perfect team isn't undefeated and perfect anymore. And in the locker room, you have men sobbing and vomiting after that game. And we have that covered in our series, and no one's ever seen or heard that before. And that's part of that like rich archival archive that we got into. And so I think if you layer in all these other complicating factors like Deflategate and Spygate and Aaron Hernandez and President Donald Trump, who injects himself into the Patriots organization by getting Bill Belichick to endorse his candidacy for president, suddenly you're like, wait a minute, is this isn't a football story anymore? And it's not just a great story about winning. This is way more layered than that. And if I don't really know a lot about football, I'm interested all of a sudden. Like I want to watch that. And I think that's what we were trying to do. Like I remember when Apple TV Plus first came onto this project. I mean, that was the mandate. They want to make something unique and different. Great. Something that people that are on their platform in Europe or South America would want to watch. And so, I mean, that was our target.
Certainly, the success of the book makes this series possible, but there's a real opportunity that the success of the series will make people go and look for the book. What do you make of the trend of whether it's a docuseries or scripted series? The great, journalism that we're finding, in paperback, inspiring storytelling on other platforms.
I think it's terrific. I mean, obviously, books have been made into movies and films and sometimes TV shows for a long, long time, right? The written word has been the basis of a lot of great things, including plays and musicals. What's changed in the last 10 years or so is with streaming services becoming so big and so effective, it created a market, a demand for a lot more material. And in some cases, I think it actually raised the bar on what will get made and for premium television like this. And this is a really high bar. And I mean, to be honest, it's a little intimidating when you come in and you know where the bar is with Imagine documentaries and with Apple TV Plus and just who the partners are. The Patriots, for example, I felt that intimidating factor with them because they're an organization that is equated with excellence. And so you don't want to write a book that's pretty good. And you don't want to make a documentary series that's pretty good. You want to make one that is landmark, that is lives up to the standard and reputation of the other partners that are part of this process. It's kind of nice to get intimidated like that because it forces you to work harder, to focus more. And so I find that kind of it's a good motivating factor. In fact, it's consistent with how, I think the Patriots got the most out of their players. It was a hard place to play. And this is a hard place to play too, but that's a good thing.
Lastly, whether it's the experience watching the series, the experience reading your book, or both, football fan or otherwise, when people come away from this project, what lesson about what this group did do you hope stays with people?
I mean, I haven't never really thought about it in the forms of lessons, but what I do think is that, number one, and not necessarily in this order, but you want to entertain people because if they're not entertained, they're not going to stay and keep watching or keep reading. So they need to be entertained, which for me is another word for engrossed, right? They need to be sucked in right away so that they want to stay for the duration, whether it's a 500-page book or a 10-episode docuseries. But over the course of that, what you do more subtly, at least from my perspective, both as a writer and a filmmaker, is you want to expose people to a side of a public figure that they've never seen because they're not allowed to see him. Like you see Tom Brady and Bill Belichick through certain lenses. That lens is usually a television camera on game day, very limiting lens, or a press conference post-game, or a television commercial. All of those lenses are pretty tightly controlled and narrow. We're going to widen that lens and give a more direct portal, like into their soul. And can we see these people as humans instead of just as performers? And if that job is done properly, whether you like them or not, like whether you root for them or not, when you come away from it, if you're a New York Giants fan, a Dallas Cowboys fan, a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, a non-fan, that you come away and go, wow, I mean, I thought I knew these guys, and actually, I'm never going to root for them. But I have to admit, after watching this or reading that, my opinion of them, my perception of them has changed. And if nothing else, I have a much deeper appreciation and respect for what they've done. Again, don't expect me to cheer for them, but I respect them a lot more. I appreciate them more. To me, as a writer, if that happens, I feel like, job well done. Next.
Well, I say to you, job well done, because all three, the bags underneath my eyes are because I was locked in and couldn't stop watching. In terms of learning something, I certainly didn't expect to learn about Tom Brady renting an apartment for Ty Law and cheating at video games, or Bill Belichick dancing on the field with his young kids at the time. And so I hated the Patriots, certainly, but now I can't help but respect them, and certainly have the utmost respect for your input and your perspective, and the piece that you should be really proud of. So thank you for giving it to all of us football fans.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much to Matthew and Jeff, and they are busy over at Apple. From one dynasty to the next. Because I would argue Leo Messi has had a dynastic career at the club level, but finally, as you know, he got his trophy at the country level. We go deep on a docu-series about Leo Messi, also on Apple TV Plus, after the break.
My name is Lucille Bryan.
I'm Clifton Bryan.
My grandson has a show.
And I'm so happy that you're listening to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
I'm so glad that he had a show. Thank you.
Thank you, Grandma and Granddad. Before the break, we talked about the Patriots dynasty and the greatness of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Well, Apple TV Plus has another docuseries out about a big championship that was won, but it's in the other football. It is about Messi winning the World Cup for Argentina and essentially for most people laying claim to the title of GOAT. The series is called Messi's World Cup, The Rise of a Legend. Essentially, it highlights the story of not just Messi, but loyal supporters across Argentina making the pilgrimage to the World Cup, watching him win it, but also watching Messi come up as a youngster, all with the goal of delivering that World Cup to the devout fans of Argentina. I got a chance to sit down with a couple people behind the making of the doc to understand the psyche of telling that story that was obviously so widely seen. The World Cup is, over the balance of the tournament, the most watched sporting event that we have currently. How do you retell that story now? Again, well, people who were tasked with that very task, really given the opportunity to, is one, Camilo Cruz, who's an Emmy and BAFTA award-winning documentary filmmaker. He's directed things like Venezuela, Country of Lost Children, Fatherland, a documentary about Ukraine that was in Sundance and did really, really well. You may have seen Her Hands, filmed in Afghanistan for Netflix, another piece. City of Ghosts, The Boy from Medellin are also things that he produced. City of Ghosts about the war in Syria, The Boy from Medellin about Colombian musician Jay Banvast. So you get the idea. He's doing great storytelling, not just about people, but about what those people's relationship is with country. Jenna Millman, also a multi-award-winning filmmaker, done work for HBO, National Geographic, and Amazon Studios. Well, this series for Apple Plus is not the only one she has out. She's also part of the 10-part docuseries about the Patriots that we just talked about. I honestly think, although that's really good, the piece of work that you probably know her from is her series called Tiger, about Tiger Woods. Now, Messi, obviously a much different type of celebrity, but a celebrity none the same. And so I talked to both Juan and Jenna about his level of celebrity and how things have changed for him post-World Cup and what their idea of the story was going into the World Cup. Let's go deep on Messi World Cup, the rise of a legend, right now.
The 2022 World Cup.
It's 64 Super Bowls rolled into 1 month.
This might mark the final time we witness Lionel Messi.
Throughout his 17-year career, Messi has yet to secure the ultimate prize.
It was obvious that he was going to be great. It was just a question of how great.
Thanks for taking the time, and congrats on a beautiful and really engaging piece of work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just want to start there. When you look at an event that was so widely covered, an athlete that is, bigger than sport at this point, what was your approach in terms of illuminating this story in a way that maybe people hadn't seen before?
Well, first, it was a filmmaker's dream come true. I mean, getting to tell the story of the GOAT at one of the most important moments in his life. So I think we all had just this feeling of, can we do this story justice? And our approach was to be as intimate as possible and to bring the world of Messi. I mean, everyone knows everything about Messi, but we wanted to show the world of Messi that they hadn't yet met. And so I think we did that in the series by bringing them into his world, showing him in sort of intimate, raw moments that you haven't seen before, and really letting him tell his story in his own words. Because he is a man of few words. He mostly talks with his feet. But in this case, he actually told his own story.
So you had some time with him in an interview setting before and after. I imagine watching the storybook, literally, story play out. What were the thoughts going through knowing that, this was a project that was going to come afterwards?
I mean, at the beginning, of course, there's a lot of things that you don't know, you know? And when we arrived to that first interview, there was a lot of expectation. There was a lot of, unknown uncertainty. But of course, there was the trust that having 36 games undefeated team, having the best player in the world, should give you a lot of confidence in a way. Having lost the first game changed a lot of that and probably was a slap on the face that was necessary for the team and even for us as filmmakers to understand the drama of our story. But at the end, I think he pulled it off. And for us, it was just incredible. And we were extremely lucky to be able to have that first expectations and that first moments before going in and then to be able to have him reflecting on the whole experience.
You know, Juan, you've told, stories before that give us a window into culture and country, whether it's in Venezuela or Ukraine. I wonder how much of this story is about Messi, but how much of it really is about telling a story about Argentina?
A lot. I think I have never seen a fandom like Argentinian for football. That's just unprecedented. I'm a football fan, but I had never seen something similar like that. And I had never seen that it was such a symbolic and important thing for the people. And I think in that sense, Leo, is the god of that religion, which is football in Argentina, right? So for me, it was just amazing to see. And again, this is a story of a country that loves football. This is the story of a person that loves his country, that wants to bring happiness to his country. So all those tensions and all that connections, I guess, between him and his country and the passion that football past and how it played out in a country like that was all things that we needed and that we wanted to bring in the series. Also, it's important to mention that while we were filming in Qatar, at the same time we were filming in Argentina, because for us it was very important to have the two sides of the story, to see the reactions of the people, to see the feeling, the emotions of all these amazingly passionate fans feeling and experiencing this. And, you know, Jen and I, we all became Argentinian, right? So yeah, it was an amazing experience in that sense, and definitely it has a lot to do with Argentina.
Jenna, you've built a reputation of finding a balance of humanizing some goats, whether like the Tiger or the Dynasty series, but also showing how they have outworldly superhuman powers. When you look at this project, how does that balance compare and contrast to some of the projects you've done with greats in the past?
Well, first of all, it's such an honor to be able to tell the stories of greatness. I mean, to just be sort of the contact high of coming close to telling that story. I think the amazing thing to me about Leo's story is he is the goat. He is world renowned. He is still very active. And while we watched him, while we were filming him, how humble he is and how much of a team player he is and how honored he was to be playing with those young players during this World Cup was really remarkable. And I think is really sort of unusual, you know, when you have somebody who's sort of a generation ahead and truly has achieved everything. I mean, you know, he's achieved everything already. And then he's playing with young guys who are, this is their first World Cup, but they're just coming up. And he wants to be in the locker room with them. He wants to be in the cafeteria with them. That's really unusual. And I think it says a huge amount about who Messi is as a person and as a team leader. And I think it's the qualities of being a family man, ultimately.
What I found really fascinating about this docuseries was the narrator, in a way, was that locker room access, that behind the scenes access, which in soccer specifically, you know, you get mixed zone and press conferences. It's not like our North American sports where you have a bunch of behind the scenes access at times. How did that level of access change the way you wanted to tell the story, if at all?
You have to imagine that Messi was coming through the most like challenging moment of his life, and the team was in the most challenging moment of everything, because they're, you know, they were following this dream and in the midst of a World Cup, which brings a lot of tension. So we tried to be as invisible and as respectful as possible, you know, and the team needed that, and we needed to be like fly on the wall basically and to be as invisible as possible. So that was the strategy behind being able to capture this insane intimacy that we were able to capture.
And lastly, for you both, you're on a global platform and a global sport, but there are two different types of audiences. You're going to have the ultras who know everything, and you're going to have people who know Messi's name because he is a celebrity. What's the one thing, either side, you want them to take away from this series after they watch it?
I think the importance of perseverance, truly, is the story of Messi. As one of the experts in our show said, he obviously is his incredible talent, but the reason why he won this World Cup is because he didn't give up. You know, he didn't give up. He continued to try, and he keeps coming back, and he works every day. And I think that's something that, whether or not you're a soccer fan, or whether or not you're, you know, you are doing any other kind of sport, or you're just doing your own pursuits, like, that is a lesson for us all to take away. You know, never give up. Keep coming back.
And Leo's a superhero, you know, and everybody likes superhero stories. And at the same time, as Jenna was saying, you know, he's a family man. You can see the love of his country. You can see a little bit of the story of Argentina. There's a lot of things that I think make this mix not just an amazing insight into a sports event, into an athlete, but also a lot of love, a lot of passion, a lot of things that I think everybody can connect to and are universal to all of us.
And that's it for us on this edition of the episode. Listen, lots of great content for you to consume. And if you're me, a great way to be inspired or just feel bad about yourself, as we've just talked about really, really talented people doing amazing things that the world at some point thought they could never do. So who says you can't be the Tom Brady or the Bill Belichick or the Leo Messi of your field? Go ahead, consume that content. Let us know what you think about it, and apply some of those lessons that you've learned into your everyday life. We really appreciate you taking any time out of your life to consume this. So thank you. And one small ask, if you liked it, please like, favorite, share, and subscribe. Talk to you soon.